Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
I'm Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White.
We're your care partners. Today's topic is going to be quality of life. Not just quality of life for the caregiver, but quality of life for the person that you're caring for. And I would kind of like to touch on that and what that is. You know, the significance of a person's social history is so important because our social history is what makes us who we are. That person is more than their diagnosis. And when you're caring for somebody, you can have a tendency to get lost in the diagnosis and the doctor's appointments.
The day-to-day grind.
Right, the day-to-day grind. We leave out the things that are important to that person. You can hear Jill's little dog.
Little.
One of Jill's dogs.
Speaking of,
but anyway. Yeah, speaking of, I mean, that will be important to you as
right,
you
do
age.
They like animals?
Right. Does the person like animals? You know, what do they do for a living? I mean, you probably already know this. If it's a family member, you knew what they did, but did they take pride in their work? And is that something that possibly you can have a discussion about, collect some old photos? Looking at the achievements in your own life can be uplifting and boost your mood.
And they're still sharing. They're still sharing and able to connect with those parts that they really loved and makes them feel important again and validated.
Right. Because I've seen it happen and I do believe that people can just get lost in that day-to-day caregiving and being cared for. So some of the things that you might want to ask yourself about the person or ask the person, what are your spiritual beliefs? You know, do you meditate? Do you pray? Do you need me to give you space to do that? Sometimes when we're caring for someone, we don't think about their personal boundaries or our personal space, privacy that they need.
They're often obliterated because of the care that they need.
Right.
So we try to give them back some of that.
Right. You know, write these things down in that little journal I told you to get. Does this person use a specific time of day to pray or meditate or whatever they do, whether, you know, yoga, I don't know. But so, you know, ask your person that. And then at the same time, think about you. Is this a time where you can do your personal practices? So maybe this person is saying prayers or a rosary or reading the Bible or whatever. Is this a time where you can step away and do your own spiritual practice?
It's key. It's key to keeping your sanity and taking care of yourself.
Another aspect of quality of life is your physical well-being. Now, obviously, if you're caring for someone, they might have some physical issues. But Jill, you were telling me something about a study that was done on...
Yeah, a recent study a gerontologist did, and I don't know all those specific details, but the outcome, they were really shocked and astounded at the outcome. The one group that was studied did mild to moderate exercise, basically getting up and walking.
And these are people with dementia?
These were people that had been actually diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment.
Okay.
So in this two-year period, they expected minimal to dramatic changes, cognitive changes and behaviors and all. And at the end of this period of time, there was a group, like I said, that did moderate exercise and another group that just had a just took a daily multivitamin. In both groups, there were no changes. There were no declines. And the doctor that was doing the study said she and the team were quite shocked that there were no
significant declines.
And when they had anticipated, they just didn't know how many or how much or how significant. And they basically got none. So as we say all the time, just move, move somehow, however you're able, just getting outside, getting some free vitamin D, go for a walk, have somebody push you in a wheelchair, go to the mall, watch people. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to just change your outlook for a few minutes or an hour or whatever.
We used to tell our residents, if you don't move it, you lose it. And it's so true. And when you're being cared for and when you're a caregiver, sometimes you can get in the habit of being sedentary.
You're exhausted.
Because you're exhausted most of the time.
Yeah.
But that person too, a lot of times, you know, they're sitting in one place and we're doing all this activity around them. Again, kind of losing sight of who that person is.
I think as a caregiver too, it's important because I've seen some marvelous caregivers that almost did too much for the person.
Right.
So because it was faster, it was more expedient, it was not as messy perhaps. They would feed them rather than let them eat on their own. And we have a great story from years and years ago that was marvelous. But those things, you it may take a little longer. So use that time to try to be patient and do something for yourself while that person is trying to do whatever it is for themselves, so that they don't lose the ability to do it. Because once they lose it, it pretty much, for the most part, does not come back.
Yeah. And, you know, just speaking of foods and eating and things like that, you know, what is that person's favorite food? What's their favorite ice cream? You would think a family member, you might know these things. Not really. Mm-hmm. And that person's an individual. And so when you're having a bad day, a good day, whatever, hey, let's go get some of that Butterfinger ice cream that you like so much, you know, or have those things on hand. Is there a favorite meal that they like to cook?
Mm.
And can that be an activity that you can actually do with the person you're caring for? And I know that sounds a little overwhelming, but even getting a bag of string beans.
There you go.
and handing them some string beans and saying, hey, will you snap these peas for me and get these ready for dinner tonight. Again, it's quality of life. If this person has been used to being a homemaker, let's say their entire life, or a mom or a wife or whatever that cooked dinner on a regular basis, just because they're sick does not mean that these things and habits go away.
Yes. And the sights and sounds and smells can trigger those memories.
Yeah.
So even if they're not able to do it, they can still enjoy having it done with them.
And the number one thing is they're feeling productive.
Yeah.
They're feeling like they're giving, they're helping the situation when they can do things like that.
So important.
And then that kind of brings me to creative. You know, is your person, and are you a creative person? And sit down and talk with your person if you can, or find out, did they ever write? Did they write poetry? Did they read poetry? Did they paint? Did they sketch? Garden, cooking. I mean, I can tell you for one that I enjoy baking, and I hope I can do that for as long as possible, even if I'm just playing with dough. Because to me, it's really therapeutic. And it's also a way that I show other people in my social world how much I love them. You know, I bake things for them, or, you know, even making dinners and things. That comes from my heart. And it's therapeutic. So I think I got off a little bit of just creative, just being creative. You know, some people tinker. If we're talking about people who maybe were engineers or something like that in the past, or mechanics or repair folks, you know, is there something, maybe an old radio that doesn't work, that you can hand this person and say, hey, can you try to figure out how to fix this for me?
Remember, and I just popped into my head because I hadn't thought about it in years, there was a gentleman that was moved into I believe it was a nursing home situation, and they kept finding him under his bed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And they hadn't talked to the family, evidently, to get his entire background. He was an auto mechanic. He was under there working. So they got him a toolbox. And he was thrilled.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure that they tried to, you know, keep him from going under the bed.
Oh, they got a little thing you can roll on.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. See, and that's what we're talking about. You know, yeah.
Keep moving.
Keep being. Help that person and help yourself. Mm-hmm. Continue to be the person you are. Do not let the diagnosis or the caregiving be the center of your life. And it is, sure. But it isn't. It doesn't have to be all the time.
You can spread the joy a little bit.
Right. In a place where I was working, there was a woman, she was German, and she lost the ability to speak and unfortunately had become what we say in the business, bedbound. Mm-hmm. But it was my job to make sure that I continued to help her with quality of life. And I was having a difficult time figuring out how to do that. Realized that the company that I worked for provided us iPads. And so I downloaded some apps and I played German music. And we had headphones, so I put headphones on her. She could still make gestures. So if I said, you know, is it okay if I put this on? You know, she would look and, you know, wide-eyed and kind of let me know. So we played some German music. She liked to walk. So often she liked to hike, I guess, in the past. And so often I would put on woodland sounds, you know, sounds of birds and rustling leaves. And there's apps for mm-hmm. everything out there. So yeah, if you have maybe a person that was a mechanic or something like that and is used to hearing, you know, the sound of tools and things like that, you know, you could play that in the background, you know, of course, not obnoxiously loud, but that's comforting. Yeah. If that's something that person did for 50 years or 40 years, you know, and all of a sudden they're home
and it's quiet,
you know, you have to think about that. So let's move on to maybe that person's social life. Were they the kind of person that was a member of clubs or business organizations or church? Did they like to go to the grocery store? Mm. My dad and mom both, as they aged, the grocery store, we lived near a military base, and they would go to the grocery store, and there would be other retirees and things like that at the grocery store. They run in and they'd have conversations with people. That was fun for them to go to the grocery store. For us, not so much.
Really?
Yeah, it's not something I look forward to. But that was a social outlet for them. And as they aged and they weren't getting out as much, mm-hmm. that was, you know, something for them to look forward to.
Even like the beauty shop, I would make appointments for my aunt to go to the beauty shop. Yeah. And she just loved being with different people and seeing the sights and the sounds. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, just keeps your horizons from closing in on you.
Right. Right. Right.
For both of you. The care partners, both.
Something kind of on the opposite side is that person, does that person have any fears or anxieties? Have they always had a fear of thunderstorms? Have they always had a fear of dogs or cats or superstitions? You know, you think that's not a big deal, but in the middle of caregiving, if something happens, a dog barks or there's a thunderstorm, that person is not going to be so easy to care for if they're anxious and worried and they have fears.
And knowing all that, especially for people that are losing the ability to communicate, is key. For their happiness and yours. Because if they're happy, you'll be happy. Happier.
And then when my dad was not well, we did do sort of a little assessment, he and I, because I wanted to know what was comforting for him, what was not comforting for him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to another story with my dad. We had gotten caught up in a lot of doctor's appointments and treatment. He had had just a minor type of surgery on his back, and there was some first aid that needed to be done to it every day. I'm not going to get into detail, but there was first aid that needed to be done to it every day, and antibiotics needed to be taken. We were really focused on this. And I realized he was just like, man, when is this going to be over? Because this is not fun. I was getting ready to start dinner, and we had just got done taking care of his wound. And I realized that the knives were not very sharp. And for as long as I could remember when I was a kid, you know, before carving the turkey or whatever, my dad would, you know, sharpen the knives. So I walked over to him. He was sitting at the table, and I put all the knives down in front of him, and he looked at me, and I'm like, you know, you're not getting out of this for free. You need to do some work. Can you please sharpen these knives? And he got the biggest kick out of that because he realized, you know, that it had taken over his life and that he was not that he wasn't contributing, but that he had lost sight, of contributing to the house hold.
You made him important again.
Yeah. And it was funny. I got a little video of it and everything, you know, just because the look on his face, it completely changed. And all he was doing was sharpening knives.
Yeah.
So,
it didn't have to be big. It can be very minor. Help me fold these, please. Or, you know, if you're doing laundry. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about all the things, that mundane things you do all day in keeping a house and doing what you need to do, and you can somehow sometimes keep those folks involved and engaged as well. And it helps you both out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I got off topic or not, but I just wanted
to. I don't think it matters.
Another aspect of significant quality of life is music. Mm. Most people, not everybody, but most people have a specific genre of music that they like. If you know, depending on where you are in your care, it's really great to start the day with that person's favorite music or your favorite music. You know, come to an agreement with the person. Hey, I want to listen to my stuff a little bit and we'll listen to your stuff a little bit.
That's why they make headphones.
Yeah, true. And headphones. But key. Music is so important. And I mean, there have been so many studies on people who have different cognitive issues, you know, whether it be a head injury or Alzheimer's or dementia or Parkinson's, whatever. There have been studies that show that people actually do better, have better days, move better.
Yes. Music speaks to your soul.
It does.
You know, and it gets you moving somehow, whether it's just tapping your foot or your finger or getting up and dance, as they found. We had a great story at a community I was at. And I kind of, again, these things are popping back into my head. So, you know, normally people moving in at a certain age, we would be thinking big bands, the 40s, you know, that kind of music. Well, this particular person did not like that music. And when we delved into it a little bit with her family, we realized that what we had to do was play some Rolling Stones. She was from England, and she was the personal assistant to the Rolling Stones.
Oh, wow.
We did not want to be playing big band for this woman.
Right.
She not. It was so, and it again, like, you see their faces light up. You see their eyes widen. I mean, you see the physical response that happens with the right kind of music, obviously.
and you as a caregiver as well. You know, if you can see that in the person you're caring for, imagine what it'll do for your soul. You just have to remind yourself to do those things for yourself.
That's why the journal is good. The lists are good. Don't feel silly jotting down little odds and ends, because those odds and ends are what make up your day.
Another thing is, you know, is there a trauma that happened in your person's life? These are not comfortable things to talk about, but it's important to know, especially with people that have cognitive issues, they may relive a trauma. You want to find what you can do, your little tips or things for yourself to help someone through that. So know that about a person. I'm not going to get too far into that because I'm not a psychologist or, you know, or a doctor or anything like that, but that's something to be aware of. You know, you might not want to bring someone to a certain place if they have experienced a trauma in a place.
Yeah. Again, we've had so much experience, I think, between us, probably 40 years between us both, but there was a woman, again, we had to make sure that no worker was ever outside of her window. She had been kidnapped as a small child.
Oh my.
And she was petrified of seeing anyone
by a window,
especially in her room. So those are, like Marty said, those are the things that you kind of get in conversation, if possible, with family, other family members, because other family members may have stories that you had no idea.
Right.
So it's really key to talk to them about the whole picture, as much of it as you can get.
And of course, you don't want to bring up that person's trauma, but if they start to talk about something, obviously listen if you can. But, you know, just be aware. Again, the need to feel productive. And so those were kind of the things that I wanted to bring up about quality of life. Is the person's spiritual life intact, physically? Are they getting activity daily? Even someone who is possibly bedbound, you know, can you massage their hands? Mm-hmm. Can they roll a ball in their hands? Physical touch is really important. But if the person is a little bit more able-bodied, you know, are we making sure that they're, you know, doing little exercises, even if it's just leg lifts, yes, you know,
seated, listening chair exercises.
Chair exercises.
Seated yoga. Mm-hmm. There's so many. Yeah. I mean, get YouTubes for that, for all kinds of things to help you.
That's true. Is their creative side being
experienced?
Yeah, yeah. Are they experiencing their creative side? Friends, it's so important for them to receive phone calls and visits, go out for a drive. My dad and his buddy used to go to a coffee shop like every Tuesday or something like that. And the people at the coffee shop got to know them. But that was their social outlet.
Yep.
And they had little things that they would do at the coffee shop. Like they would dare each other to, you know, if there was a pretty woman that walks in, that they would be the first one. They'd try to be the first one to go up and tell her how beautiful she was. Anyway, aww, you know, those little things, if they shouldn't stop doing those things.
Absolutely.
If they can, you know, just because they have this diagnosis of whatever doesn't mean that they have to stop that.
Try to find ways to facilitate them to still do what they love doing, mm-hmm, or enjoy doing. Again, whether it's big or small, it's key and important and an integral part of who they still are. They're still who they are. So, mm-hmm, you know, honor that.
Yeah. Something I wanted to bring up too, let's say that your person is experiencing blindness, but they still have a desire to learn or, mm-hmm, or read or whatever. The Library of Congress has books on tape. Now it's probably, you know, something, an app that you can tune, mm-hmm, into. What is that app that everybody listens to?
Audible?
Yes.
There's a
ton of them. Audible, you know, find out the topics that that person likes. When you're visually impaired, you can become really isolated, mm-hmm, and very dependent on other people. And books are a really good way to just kind of take you out of that place.
Keep their mind stimulated because your imagination is still working.
Yeah. And I think that's all I was going to touch on as far as quality of life. Something may come up in future conversation. Yeah. But
and we really want to reach out to our audience, if you will, for suggestions, conversations you'd like to hear about, concerns you may have. And mm-hmm, Marty's going to give you a couple of places where we can be reached at.
Yes.
And at some point, hopefully, we'll be actually going live and having visitors and call-ins and all that.
And interviewing people.
Slowly moving in that direction.
We are. We are.
Patient with us.
Right? I know. We're trying to figure this out. So we're available on Spotify right now under Your Care Partners. You can go to anchor.fm/yourcarepartners and it should bring up. Or WWER 88.1 FM or online at WWER.org.
Our Anchor podcast is listener supported. Our podcasts are also available on YouTube and Spotify. Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
Thank you all for joining us, and really hope that we've given you some good tips and advice on quality of life, because the person is not their diagnosis. They are still who they are. And we need to respect that. And you are still who you are, other than a caregiver. Just want you to have a nice day. And
enjoy it. Just know you're not alone,
'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.